Today on Real Radio.
Looking for redemption will bring us to the place of wondering about deeper things. Are you searching this morning? Can you see in your life that you want to know God? Do you want to find out more about Jesus? That thought has been brought to your head by God Almighty. You didn't think that up on your own. And you're starting to wonder about deeper things. Is there life after death? Does God exist? Is there a meaning to my life? Wondering about deeper things like spiritual reality. Something beyond what's perceived. Something beyond the stained glass windows. Something beyond the robe or the windows or the building or the liturgical things. Something beyond. Can the Bible come out of its pages and become a living, breathing power in my life?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at part of chapter 2 in the portion where the Messiah, as the text reads, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Those Looking for Redemption.
It says, now there was this one Anna, a prophetess, so that is she knew the word of God, and it means she wasn't shy to speak it. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She's Jewish, and she was of great age. Will you mark that down? That's going to be important to you in a moment. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Verse 37 says, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Stop right there at that comma. The first thing I want you to see here is that she's a picture of us looking for redemption. She's prepared to go after it. And look, even if it means she has to wait. Can you jot that down? Christian, will you wait upon God? What if this lunatic president of Iran has his wish and he winds up blowing up America? Will you still wait upon God? When the doctor tells you that you've got 6 months to live, will you still wait upon God? I got news for you, Christian. Where else are you going to wait? And to whom else are you going to wait? Huh? We agree with Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. There's a wonderful fact that that is true to us theologically right now, but it's never more so powerful than when we are in desperate need and understand that. She's willing to wait. She's been waiting. And I wonder sometimes if we as Christians are willing to wait. Sometimes we lose heart and we give up waiting. But listen, my friend, God will not be early and he will not be late. It's interesting. This woman, nothing deters her. So, Pastor, I couldn't come to church because they changed the time on us. Or I couldn't come to church today. It's too sunny outside. Couldn't come to church. You know, I probably can't come on Wednesday night because the Santa Ana winds are going to be blowing. And the next Sunday, I don't know, because you know what? It could be cloudy. Anna would not take that. Church, follow along with me. She's waiting upon the Lord. She is of a great age, and she had lived from her virginity for 7 years. What does that mean? Are you ready for this? She got married. We know as a Jewish girl, she would have been married from 12 to 15 years of age if all was normal. Back then. She gets married, whatever day that was, we don't know. She gets married. She lived with her husband for 7 years. That's what that means. And then her husband died. She was of great age. And I want to stop right there for that. Nothing will deter this precious lady. Not Santa Ana winds, not a time change, not the sun, or not the clouds. She's committed to follow God no matter what. I mentioned to you about Heather Mercer a moment ago. When we had our meeting down at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, we came out of that meeting, and one of the pastors turned to me. We were all very humbled, by the way. Some of the big guns, you know, of spirituality, we're all, you know, sitting around the table, and what can you tell us? And this little girl just began to share Jesus and what God has done in her life. And afterwards, we stepped out of the office, and one of the pastors said, "I think I just met Paul the Apostle in a skirt." You want to know why? Because that girl will not take no. She just simply opens the Bible. You know, Jesus says this, let's go. I'm telling you, don't hang around her unless you've got a helmet on. Because I'm telling you, if the Bible says it, let's go. Come on, let's go. That's her whole attitude. She does not take no for an answer. God said it, let's go. And up she goes. And she says it, and that's it. She's not afraid of anything because God says it. When are we going to start being like that? I'm not saying we're not, but I'm just saying it, okay? We need to be like that. What are we so careful about? Well, people might think I'm a fool. They already think that about other silly things. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Listen, we have failed for stupider things, if stupider is a word. We have failed for lesser things. We've all signed up for something and fallen flat on our face about it. I tell you what, pursue God, you'll succeed every time. Maybe not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. And in the end, what God sees is all that matters, not what men discern. It's the bottom line. So, looking for redemption means this, that we're willing to wait for it. And Anna's a great example. This woman's been a widow for 84 years. What kind of pain could that woman tell us about? Great pain. Number one, in that part of the world, a widow was despised. She didn't have wealth. She didn't have stuff. She didn't have external things to lean upon for her identity. It was just her and God. She had nothing else. 84 years. Okay, now wait a minute. If she was around 12 or 13 years of age and she got married, and she was married 7 years on top of that, let's say she's 20-ish, and then she's a widow for how long? 84 years? Do the math. This is one seasoned old gal. She's over 100 years of age. Look, I'm almost half her age, and I tell you what, if I'm going to go somewhere, I got to get my medications together. I got to figure, and I got to call ahead. How soft are your beds? You know, is it handicap accessible? Why are you handicapped? No, but it could be by the time I get there. I mean, are you with me on that? You know, honey, make sure you pack the Advil. You want to make some money, you guys? Any entrepreneurs in here? Remember when you were little kids, we used to have those little elastic necklaces with all the candy on it? Make them now with aspirin, Advil, color-coded. Color-coded. You can chew on an Advil and then put it around your neck. Oh, my back! Move it around to the blue section. Now, look, some of you are going to go make $1 million. You heard it here first. But it's pretty amazing. This woman could have had any excuse. Church, you might say, well, Pastor, I know the Bible says here that she's, of this age and she's serving God and everything. But, you know, when you're that age, what else are you going to do? That's a cheap shot. Because you know what? At 100 plus years of age, it's a good day if you get out of bed. She got out of bed, and where'd she go? She went to temple. She went to worship. She went to fast. She went to pray. She wanted to be near God and love God and be one that's committed to God. Man, something happens, and we think, oh, I can't go to church today. And we so often go to church every other week. What is that all about? This woman wouldn't miss. And by the way, it's not that she just went to temple. Do you understand that? I think this woman, she's longing for the redemption of Israel. She knows that redemption doesn't come from the temple, just like you ought to know. Salvation doesn't come from this church. Salvation comes from the Lord. We've come here to worship Him publicly while we still have the freedom. Do you know Christ personally? Look, you can go to the top of Big Bear Mountain, 10,000 feet, and find Him there. You can go out here between here and Catalina and go underwater and find Him there. I don't remember the astronaut's name, but there was some astronaut, U.S. astronaut, got witnessed to all of his life, never accepted Christ, got locked into that tin can, they lit a fire underneath it, catapulted him out into space. He said that Apollo turned around, and he looked at the Earth, and at that moment, he just knew, God's real! Didn't go over well inside the capsule, he shouted it out, God's real! God's real. That guy came back a believer. He had to go 230 miles out into space to get saved. But isn't that what King David said? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I ascend to the outermost parts, behold, thou art there. God's there. She knows that God's not in the temple. God's not in this church. But will you open your heart wherever you're at? Will you say to him, God, I'm longing for redemption. I want to have meaning. God, there's got to be a real life. It's not only something that she waited for. Look at verses 36 to 7. It's something that comes often in difficult things of life. She's a widow of 84 years. That's had to be a hard thing. Difficult times. Church, again, sometimes our most difficult moments in life bring us closer to God. And that's the truth about that. Sometimes we think for some strange reason, I don't know why we think this, but when some rough, difficult time comes upon our lives, we often think that God has forsaken us. And yet the Bible says it's that through experiencing much difficulties that we inherit the kingdom of God. When rough things are going on in your life and my life, people are watching us and they know that we've professed Christ. And they're watching to see how we go through it. Rough times come to all people, but the Christian should shine along that rough road. Looking for redemption, we'll be prepared to go after it. And if that even means in difficult times, we'll follow him. A third thing that we see under this point is that it's our choosing. That we choose to follow and look after and pursue the redemption of God and prepare our hearts to go after it, even if it means our choosing. In verse 38, it says, and that she, having come in that instant, will you circle that, please? Coming in that instant. I'll come back to that in a second. She gave thanks to the Lord and, connecting statement, she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Three things. Number one, coming in that instant. Anna comes in, and here's the beautiful portion about this scripture. Verses 36 to 38 connect us to what had transpired earlier in the life of the man Simeon in Jesus' early life. Anna comes in and she is in agreement with what Simeon had to say. Now listen, some scholars say, and I happen to agree with them, that Anna's proclamation takes place immediately at Simeon's dedication of Jesus unto the Lord. Remember that? Last time together. Some few scholars say, no, it happens afterwards. It doesn't matter. The point is this. She comes in that instant, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Savior. She recognized that this is the child that's to be Savior of the world. She gives thanks to the Lord, and she speaks of those who look for redemption in Jerusalem, for redemption in Israel. In that instant means she was made immediately aware that this is God's Messiah. And what a joyous moment it was, she began to speak and to proclaim. Years ago, when Lisa and I were attending Calvary Costa Mesa, this has had to be in 1980, maybe 1981. There was this woman that we always sat with. She was from England. And I don't remember her name, I'm sorry, but little tiny frail thing. It's so cute. Because, you know, back in those days in the hippie movement, I got saved there in the mid-70s. It was the hippie time. Anybody remember? Anybody ever heard of a hippie? It's the hippies. And, you know, it's funny. You see young people today and they think they're doing something new and radical. Man, if you live through the hippie times, you look at young people today and they're like, oh, man, look at me. And it's like, show me something new, will you? That's already happened 30 years ago. With all these hippies sitting around, she would come in and she was just like your normal Londoner. I mean, she was decked out for church, beautiful English accent, and she loved God. I mean, she was Calvary Costa Mesa's Anna. And she came in there and she would talk and praise the Lord, and she'd raise her hands and her jewelry shaking, and she was so cute. Silver hair. She'd always tell us, I led three people to the Lord this week. Next week, I led a young man to the Lord this week. So cool. She was an evangelist, just like Anna. And I'll never forget it. She would always, because listen, she's old. She couldn't go down to the beach and hand out tracts or, you know, get on her skateboard, you know, and, hey. She was so old, she just kind of shuffled into church. You know what she would do? She'd get up hours and hours, because it takes a body that's that old to move. Hours and hours, she'd get all ready, get all prepared. She'd go down to the Hughes Market, and she would just go down the aisle, and she'd get to the produce section. And she told us the produce section is the most fruitful area for the Lord. And she would go up there, and she'd grab a banana, and she'd call for assistance. Can I have some help, please? And the assistant would come. Yes, ma'am. If I get a bushel of these or a bunch of these, will you take them to my car? Yes, of course, ma'am. You bet. Sonny, wait. You see this banana? Look at it. It's perfect. God made this banana. And she would use fruit and vegetables to share the existence of God with these people. And I don't know if they accepted the Lord to get free from her, or they accepted the Lord because they understood what she was saying. I say that in jest. I know exactly what's going on, as you do. Do you think God would honor the ministry efforts of an ancient old lady to even use God's creative handiwork and a banana to share Jesus with the little produce guy to bring him to Christ? Do you think God would honor that? Oh, yeah, Pastor. Then why don't we think more reckless like that old lady? God can use you too, me too, even with a pink shirt. God will use the shirt. I get more comments about this shirt. Not all of them are good. But look, God can use a pink shirt. What is it in your life? God can use it. God wants to use it. And so it's your choosing. Look at our second point this morning is this. Looking for redemption will bring us to the place of wondering about deeper things. Are you searching this morning? Can you say in your life that you want to know God? Do you want to find out more about Jesus? That thought has been brought to your head by God Almighty. You didn't think that up on your own. And you're starting to wonder about deeper things. Is there life after death? Does God exist? Is there a meaning to my life? Wondering about deeper things like spiritual reality. Something beyond what's perceived. Something beyond the stained glass windows. Something beyond the robe or the windows or the building or the liturgical things. Something beyond. Can the Bible come out of its pages and become a living, breathing power in my life? Something beyond perception? Oh yeah, spiritual reality. Verses 39 to 41. So when they had performed all these things, Joseph and Mary had been doing what was required of them by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee into their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, Jesus grew physically, that is, and he became strong in spirit, that is, of spiritual character or fiber, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. I don't want to belabor this, other than this one point, spiritual reality. Church, listen. Rome was on the increase. Israel was on the decrease. Things about life were in question. People were doubting, wondering what's real. Joseph and Mary are making their pilgrimage, doing the normal religious thing that's required of them. Church, will that bring you meaning? No. Only a personal encounter with God will bring it meaning. The things that we assemble together doesn't have any value unless you've had a personal encounter with God. For example, worship. We can bring the greatest worship gurus of the world and have conferences. If you're not born again and if you don't appreciate God, it's not going to matter. We could bring in the latest and the greatest of this or that. It's not going to matter. Your heart has got to be right with God. Then, listen, you can worship rubbing two sticks together. It won't matter. That's why the Lord says, or that's why the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God loves that. Did you see little Jordan this morning? You loved it, didn't you? You know who loved it more than you and I? God got a kick out of it. Do you think for a moment God smiled? Absolutely. He was rejoicing and enjoying it. No doubt about it. I just simply want to stress that spiritual reality is what it's all about. You either have it or you don't. You either want it or you don't. If you want it, it's because God's calling you. If you could care less, then God's not calling you. It's a very dangerous thing to flirt with these holy things of God, but to trust in outward things. Yes, they were making their pilgrimage back and forth, but had they found the safety and the security? I don't think so. Those longing for redemption also, wondering about deeper things, they would want to draw near to God, drawing near to the Lord. Look at verses 42 to 45. It tells us there that when he was 12 years of age, they went to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. Verse 43, and when they had finished the days, or when the days were completed, that is of the feast, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Will you mark that down? Luke tells us that as a young man, as a young boy, 12 years of age, Jesus stays behind. It says, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company. Now, let's cut them some slack. The word company here, we recognize the word today, caravan. That makes more sense. It's a large company of people that they would travel together, relatives and acquaintances, a lot of people. So Joseph and Mary are not being careless. By the way, Josephus, the historian, says this, that when they would make their pilgrimages, all the women would leave first and ahead of the men because they moved at a slower pace. They would have with them the children, the young babies, the young children, but children 12 to 13 years of age, older, predominantly male, would travel with the men in the rear. So watch this. You got the women ahead with the young kids. You've got the men behind with the kids that are young or medium age or older. Mary's probably supposing, I don't see Jesus. He must be with who? Joseph. Joseph doesn't see Jesus, so he's probably assuming he must be up there with his mom. We've all done that to some degree or another. But as they went one day's journey behind, they came to camp that night. And hi, Joseph. Hi, Mary. Where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. Have you ever heard those words in your house? Oh, isn't that horrible? I don't know if my daughter's here or not, but we lost her one time. We were at Mervyn's, and she was little. And you know when they're like two, they're like everywhere. They're like climbing on you, climbing off of you. They're like everywhere. Here, stay next to your mom, okay, whatever. And, oh, look, a sail. And so Lisa went one way, I went the other way. Lisa thought I had her, I thought she had her. So then we come back together. Where's Ashley? I don't thought you had her. I don't have her. Shut the doors! You know what that little stinker did? She crawled up underneath the clothing rack display because I laid down on Mervyn's carpet and I was looking for little naked feet running around. Nothing. Oh. Isn't that horrible? You know, isn't that feeling, that hole in your stomach? Ashley! Joseph and Mary are looking for Jesus. Can you imagine? Jesus! Can you imagine somebody walking up, hey, what'd you do, lose God's son? Boy, you're going to get in trouble. What's going on here? He was right under your nose and you lost him. Jesus! They're looking for him. What a horrible feeling. I can only imagine there's one worse of a feeling, only one that could be worse than this. And that is living your life having lost the Son of God all your life. Living your life and missing him. He was right under your nose and you missed him. Can you imagine? And so they're crying and they're calling out. So listen, to draw near to God. And it's what's interesting about this. You say, well, that's kind of a stretch, kind of a sub-point there, drawing near to God. Jesus is in Jerusalem. His mom and dad have walked away. No, let me put it to you this way. Do you see Jesus looking for them? He's fine. He's having a great time.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Those Looking for Redemption, a study taken from Luke chapter 2, part of our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this study or to get in touch with us for any reason, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click where it says Send Us a Message and just drop us a quick line letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer. RealRadioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.